So, Nicole and Brian.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everyone. We're going to start first with the financial reports, which will set the framework before we go into the budgets, and at which point I'll let Brian set up some framing for the budgets. So please go to the section there, Pacifica Foundation National Board Meeting, Financial Reports. You'll see a purple page. And that is the Consolidated Cash in Bank Report. And I just want to say, please bear with me. I know that there are no excuses when you're a professional, but I didn't get any sleep last night. So if I'm a little slow to respond, so be it. Please just understand that. So let's take a look at the Consolidated Cash in Bank. I do want to thank my colleagues, Lynn Magno, who prepared most of the financial reports, and Stephen Shin. Both of them, of course, working very assiduously as well on the budgets, especially Stephen Shin, who has joined several of the conference calls as well. So as we look across the board there, we see that with the consolidated cash in bank, the first purple sheet is ending for July 31st, 2008. But we also have a secondary sheet, and that is the white sheet behind it, which is the consolidated cash in bank as of August 31st. So we did close out August with a consolidated cash in bank statement. Important to note is that the $400,000 is restricted for KPFA because that is what the $300,000 line of credit was taken against. As you know, the line of credit was only given to us from Wells Fargo Bank against cash in bank. Wells Fargo will not loan against property. So when you look at KPFA, that's where they are at as of the end of August. And we switch over to K. $40,000 is restricted. That is the HD grant. So at the end of August, K, we hope, can actually make end of September payroll. We don't know. As you can see, they only had not so much in the bank at the end of August. We've had one pay period since then, and then we have a pay period following that at the end of the month, and that includes benefits. KPFT, $23,000 is restricted. They ended August fairly healthy. Their summer drive didn't do well. And then, of course, now they've had Ike. WBAI, $40,000 restricted. That's their HD. $50,000 is an annuity. That's restricted. $50,800 is restricted building account. So when you pull out the restricted, they're at $42,000 at the end of August. They have started their drive in September. WPFW, and I'm not adding up the petty cash and things like that. $200,000 is the first disbursement of the Leonard gift. $40,000 is their HD restricted from CPB. Pull out the restricted. They end with $362,000 cash in bank. National Office. Ending with $91,000 cash in bank. That's from the LOC. Since then, we've had one payroll. PRA, $14,000 end of August cash in bank. So the total there, when you pull out the $904,000 in the last column, total per balance sheet, $904,000 being restricted. You end up with $1.2 million at the end of August. You have to take into consideration some weak summer drives and that we've been through one pay period along with benefits. Turn to the next page, please. That is the cash flow projection as of September 30th, 2008. First box you see there is basically our summary on the line of credit and how that's been spent. So WFB means Wells Fargo Bank. LOC means line of credit. So here are the dispersals. You see what we dispersed it and paid. FSRN, July and August. Democracy Now, only 1 month, and that was June. Payroll periods with benefits. PRA payroll as well with benefits. So we end up at the 15th of September with $50,000 left from the $300,000 line of credit. There are some more inflows, as you can see. OS, I believe that means CS, as of, well, this would be offsets. KPFA is offset. No more central services from them through the end of the fiscal year because we borrowed so heavily against and they paid so much far in advance. The central services we're still waiting on, $299,492, let's call it $300,000 from KPFK, and $545,634 from WBAI. This is Lynn's footnote on the far right. There you see the footnote of scheduled to pay April 2009, the $300,000 owing from K. And Lynn's footnote is hopeless bad debt for WBAI. We have an offset of WPFW because we borrowed against them for their central services way in advance to pay payroll. KPFT is paid up. So the total central services is really what is owing to us. Billbacks would be any money that we've put up towards health care, any of the premiums that we pay, any of the other things that we pay. And there you can see we do have a projected inflow from WBAI. This is to the end of September for their benefits of $13,000. But that's not the total because we still have $129,000 in billbacks and $30,000 in billbacks from KPFK. All the other billbacks have been either offset or paid. SCA is the money that comes in from the side channels. We're hoping for the receivables of $9,000. We hope for the $10,000 receivable from the affiliates fees still owing. Maybe we'll get a trickle in. I think that's rather optimistic, but maybe we'll get a trickle in of $2,000 from that spring mail drive. So the projected net inflow to the end of September is all of $48,000. So adding with the $50,000, we have the projected cash balance as of September 30th, and this would be for the National Office, of $100,703. Let's look at those bills owing. This is more of the cash flow projection. This is the Pacifica Foundation National Office operating account. There we have, and I think this is kind of a low ball, but altogether the first square there is this PNB meeting. And the projected costs are $8,358, but we all know that those always go over. But this was a rather cheap board meeting compared to, I have a summary of other board meetings from past years, compared to, let's say, April 2007 here in D.C., $46,000. Berkeley, September 7th, $64,000. WBAI New York, June 06, $70,000. Some high-ticket items there. March 06 in Los Angeles, $40,000. So this is truly the bargain basement tour.
Yes,
let's hope it doesn't go beyond $10,000. We have PMB conference call owing $2,600. We expect to the end of the fiscal year. Then we have miscellaneous, but I'd like to draw your attention to the audit fee and the pension. We had to do a audit on our pension plan, and that was quite a hefty fee. There's also some other fees in there. Most of them are just miscellaneous. So hopefully from that, we will have due September 6,900. Then there's the insurance renewal, which would be the first payment on our insurance renewal, directors and officers, and also employment insurance, and that's 30 grand. We have the EDD penalty, but that's looking like it's actually only going to be 30,000, we hope. But we need to be able to pay that right away because we are paying incredible penalties on everything that we haven't paid to EDD. And again, I really want to salute Lois Withers, business manager at KPFA, our former HR director, Dominga Estrada, for really drilling down on that EDD, going through the lists. It was very, very difficult. That was something that arose in 2004, was neglected, and we collected penalties on it.
Can I just interject? Isn't that 64,000, 32,000 now?
Right,
EDD?
I just said.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and then we have the, you see there, Gordon probate. That's $113,700 that needs to be paid back into the Wells Fargo bank account for probate. Probate has not closed yet on the Gordon estate, but I doubt that we will ever be able to pay the $113,000.
We don't actually have to because we're the sole beneficiary other than the specific bequest of personal property that, I'm sorry, we don't actually, the problem was with that particular bequest was that it turns out that we were the sole beneficiary of the residue of the estate. There were specific bequests of personal property, namely some paintings that the beneficiary had left, and he left them sequentially to, I don't know, a museum in Berlin, and if they didn't want them, to a museum
in Paris.
Paris, and if they didn't want them, then they revert to the residue of the estate. I don't know what the status of that part of the bequest is, but then we're the sole beneficiary. It was inappropriate to spend that money before the estate was settled. And so even though we're the sole beneficiary, it was an improper procedure, an improper use of funds in probate, and that's why it has to be paid back, though it's not a real debt because we're the beneficiaries, but there may be taxes and other costs pertinent to the closing of probate that will be removed from that money.
Right. So once it's paid back, then we can take it again.
Right.
Right, but being able to find the $113,000 to pay it back is the issue. Yes, we will get it, but nonetheless, being able to pay back that $113,000 before probate closes is the issue. Okay, let's go to benefits. So to close out the fiscal year, another $28,000. I'm seeing a little blurry here. Is that 26 or 28? $28,000. And then the mail drive owing from the spring, we still owe $20,000 on that mail drive. Even though the letter, I will say again, I get to repeat this because I wrote that letter, even though the letter asking for help during the election coverage went to donors in our Signal areas, did bring in quite a hefty amount, over $57,000. Mm-hmm. Most of that was used to offset the acquisition mail, which lost money, and now we still owe the mail house $20,000. I did not approve that acquisition mail, but oh well. Then we have the lease rental on our copiers. Next page, we have payroll for national office and payroll for PRA and payroll for our one remaining consultant contractor. And so we have to get out to the end of the fiscal year, which is this next payroll period, $54,000. And then we still owe Democracy Now! July through September, and that's a big, hefty chunk of $145,000. We also will owe Free Speech Radio for September. We've paid off Clear Channel, which does one of our satellites, and we'll owe NPR for the satellite carriage of Democracy Now! Per our contract, $4,200. The national programming is the DNC and RNC coverage, which will come to $12,193. We owe $2,499 for the Queer Life, Queer Planet special.
What is that?
That was done during Pride weekend, and all five stations, producers from all five stations contributed to that.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the producers get their billing in rather late, and I really wish they would bill in a more timely manner. The other is the last remaining. I have stopped all stringers for Election Unspun. That was a bit of a mistake. I didn't give Nathan the heads up in time to stop billing for Election Unspun stringers, but we still owe $750 on that. We have some other little ancillary. We have the server for the web. And I don't know what SurveyMonkey is, but I guess that was some survey that the affiliates did.
It was an audience. No, it was a program evaluation form.
Program Council
Carriage
has
survey.
That, and there's also
what?
Another
there's
one that is being
survey.
Used. I'm sorry, I can't.
Well, that's $155 a month, and I didn't know that we had that. And then we have the, you know, the typical server costs. These are normal and standard. Then we have our legal and retainer, which is $86,508 total.
So less 32.
Less
32 in where?
The SCAT and ARPS is not.
You mean less 31,805?
Yes. We don't owe them anything.
Okay,
and
you should tell them.
We should make sure that that money is not paid out because we don't owe it.
Well, you need to tell them that, but let me do some calculations then with my handy-dandy calculator. So, 4310 plus 23792 plus 26601 equals 54702.
Nicole. Her name is Nicole.
I was going to ask Dan to give a fuller explanation as to why his position is that we don't owe SCAD and ORBS and.
Okay, I got it. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Very quick. So remember yesterday in my report I mentioned that we had negotiated this fee for Silverman to handle the Nieves and Null motions, which was $15,000. And he was working for SCAD and ARPS at the time. And we paid that $15,000. Since then, they have billed this additional $32,000, SCAD and ARPS has. And I have told them, we're not paying. We had an agreement with Dan Silverman. He was your partner at the time. We fulfilled that agreement, and you're not getting the $32,000. And that's kind of where it stands.
It's still there. Is that a potential lawsuit? Reflection?
I don't think so. Law firms like that do not like to sue clients. And plus, we're right. And they know we're right. I've spoken to a partner there, and I don't know why it's still on the books. It may be, you know, this is a law firm with 2,000 lawyers and probably an equal number of other staff and a worse bureaucracy than the post office. But
were they heavily invested in junk bonds because they may be going under? Nicole, please.
Okay, so the total
Nicole,
for the yes.
I'm sorry, excuse me. What time period are these retainer fees for? What is the time period?
Well, I think Dan Siegel is current, correct? That's the current time period. Silverman and Silverman is current.
No, is this for a 1 month, a quarterly period, an annual period?
Dan.
It's balance
due
accrued since probably the first of the year.
It's just as it builds up and as we try to pay it off and then more comes in. So this is really taking us to the end of the fiscal year as well,
thank you.
Which closes in 2 weeks. Or, yes, 2 weeks. So now we're at $119,519.55 if you subtract the SCAD and ARPS. But we'll still have a pretty severe shortfall as of the 30th of September. So we're skating through, we're squeaking by, and we're ending in a deficit. I sent out, we secured the LOC. I did send out the parameters for a loan. We can talk about the loan later. But let's keep looking at some of these financials. Any comments on projected inflow and...
Okay, I'm going to do the list. Okay, George, I'm calling on.
How much of the Summer Drive pledged income has actually been credited to...
Is actually what?
How much of the Summer Drive pledged income for the various stations has actually been credited to the cash balance here?
Well, since we don't get any central services from A, they already did their Summer Drive, so there's no central services coming from them. And we have no central services from W, and they've already done their Summer Drive.
Well, that wasn't the question. I mean, we're talking about
total. This is the national office. This is Pacifica Foundation outflow and inflow. This isn't station by station.
That's what I understand that. So the question is, this is total cash balance for the Pacifica Foundation. So the Summer Drive cash balances all contribute to that. And the question is, how much of what was pledged is actually being credited to our cash balance from the Summer Drives?
It's not for the Pacifica Foundation. It's for the Pacifica Foundation unit, which is identified as the national office.
Right here we have, on page one, we go back to the stations. That's the consolidated cash in bank, right? And that is, if you look at the second page, that's at the end of August. So those of them that did drives in August, which is basically about everybody. No, the second page is August 31st. So the second page is August 31st. After the purple page, are you there, George?
Yes.
Okay, so all the drives are accounted for in whatever cash in bank is there because everybody finished their drives by the end of August of the summer drives.
But the money keeps coming in for a period of about 2 months afterwards. So there's some extra money, presumably.
We're not doing it on an accrual like that or projections. We're just looking. This is a cash in bank statement.
Okay, so this is just what was actually in the bank as a result
exactly
of those drives.
Exactly right.
At the
end, as a result of whatever was taken on credit cards or had come in.
And we don't know what's in the bank at the end of September because we haven't got that information yet. Is that right?
We're not at the end of September.
I mean,
right.
That's
right.
So
this statement that we are looking at right now is consolidated cash in bank end of August.
Right.
The next is projected inflows and outflows for the foundation national office.
And for September, have we projected any more money coming in from those pledge drives into the
that
September
doesn't
balance?
Show in this account in this
okay,
kind
so
of worksheet.
So it isn't there yet.
Right.
Okay.
And it wouldn't
be on
this unit anyway, because this unit, the national office unit, only generates income because of the assessment against each of the five networks. So this lists what they would have to pay and who has paid. So WBAI and T are paid up, tier W.
T and W and A are all paid up.
So the national office will generate no more income except...
Central services from...
Yeah, central services. Okay. Anybody else with questions on what has gone on so far? Okay, go ahead, Nick.
Please let me finish the question because
I'm
not sure what we're talking about here yet. So this projected shortfall is not for the for the whole foundation. The projected shortfall is just for the national office? Is that correct? The one that's at the bottom?
These are all the national office, i.e. foundation, bills. These include the projections for this meeting. Yes, exactly right. This is not station by station.
This is just the national office, the purple.
The very last one is just the national office.
That's right.
So there are funds out in the stations which are not...
Or shortfalls.
Right. You can see the funds out in the stations are the cash and bank statement, and then whatever will be coming in September, and we can go through that. There is some station accounting in there as well. But the cash in bank, the actual cash the stations have as of the end of August, which includes the beginnings of their fund drives and anything that came in on credit cards, is there on this one white sheet.
Okay.
And any of the restricted as well.
Okay, go ahead, Nicole.
Okay, then there's a consolidated for the 10 months ending July 31st. I think what's interesting to read are all the footnotes. Some of this is a repeat. Here you have the stations. Now you have the stations. You have some pledges and other receivables. There you go, George. You see that? And that's to the end of July 31st. I think, again, the footnotes are interesting in that. I don't think we have to go through this necessarily. Please see footnotes to this balance sheet. Because also this includes all the net assets and accrual and all that, and I think it's really important right now as we close out the fiscal year to look at our cash situation, which is going to certainly be a deficit for the national office and the foundation. Scrolling forward, just some informational sheets. You'll see there the Pacifica Foundation National Office legal expenses. This is October 2007 through July 31st, 2008.
Pardon me, Nicole, I'm sorry, which I've lost.
This is after the consolidated. So I just skipped over the consolidated. It's there. I urge you to read the footnotes right now.
After
you can
the
read
footnotes.
That at your leisure. But after the footnotes, you'll see a report that we did for the Pacifica Foundation National Office legal expenses versus payments, October 01, 2007, July 31st, 2008. So basically almost all of our fiscal year. Do you have that?
I'm looking at Joe. Joe seems to be on the case.
Right past the footnotes, Dan.
Yeah. It's right past the footnotes.
Okay, yeah, carry on. I'm sorry.
Now, I guess we can take out the Skadden ARPS, correct? The $31,000 for the Gary Nolan Nieves Santiago. So that was, there. Dan went over some of this yesterday when he discussed the legal expenses. Or the legal. So the year-to-date charges for FY09, $233,088.49. And we will be owing $89,000 minus the $31,000. So that's 50-something. Do you see that?
Yes.
You know, I mean, from a cash point of view, it doesn't make any difference. But from a bookkeeping and accounting point of view, the Tony Jaramillo should not be listed as a legal expense. It's a personnel expense. In other words, this is not money to pay a legal bill. It's money to pay Sheree Epstein in settlement of her claims, just like other personnel expenses are listed as personnel matters, not legal matters. So, still $75,000, but.
Yeah. Right, but I think that'll be taken care of in the audit, correct? Won't the audit book that? Neo, wouldn't the audit then book that in its correct way?
Well, if they have the information.
Right. Okay.
On the legal page.
After the legal page is the Pacifica Foundation consolidated for the 10 months ending July 31st, 2008. I think the last three columns are the most interesting, which is the year-to-date actual, then the year-to-date budget. So this is what y'all budgeted last year, and the year-to-date variance. There you have it. This is consolidated. So, you know, it's pretty massive.
Is this 34-page thing?
Yeah, one of 34.
Excellent. Okay, thank you.
Again, you know, I don't think I have to, like, speak the obvious. I don't think I have to run through this with you. I'm just walking it through with you. You can see the year-to-date variances. You can see what was budgeted, what's actual. What was actual is $14 million is in. Budgeted was 15.9, call it 16. You know, that's a year-to-date variance of about 1.5 million consolidated. Then we have the central service fees, which, you know, are dinged off of actual coming in. So, again, you have the year-to-date budget off from the year-to-date actual and then the year-to-date variance. So those totals are the total central service fees to national office. The year-to-date actual has been $1.9 million. The budget was $2.1 million. There's a variance of $243,000. We go through. There's more breakdown there. And it's just more.
Pardon me.
And
is it,
more.
Jamie?
Can we ask a question now,
yes,
or should we wait till the end?
Go ahead, Jamie.
Is it this line here, central services from BAI, it has all these numbers here.
Right.
But all these amounts here were paid apparently each month, but.
No, I mean, they weren't. They should be in parentheses.
But there's an actual total of $382,000.
They're accruals.
Accruals. What is that? We're supposed to pay.
Yes.
But we have. That doesn't mean we have paid.
Right.
Okay.
We do accrual accounting in Pacifica, so when an expense becomes due, regardless of whether it's paid or not, it's reflected on your income statement.
Okay.
That's why you have a separate cash flow statement to show the actual dollars moving through your accounts.
Okay, so then the overall variance is quite a bit more. I mean, the...
Right.
The real actual money. Okay.
Because if we go back to our original right here, right on the purple page, where we see the central services, $545,634 for this fiscal year. That doesn't take into account last fiscal year not paid from WBAI.
Okay, so this variance is just due to drives not meeting goals, and just the owed central service would be less.
I don't know what you mean.
Brian?
No, the accrual would be the 20%
right,
that's due, not the 20% that's budgeted.
I understand, but it says here year-to-date actual central services is $1.9 million. That would be if you multiplied... That's based on the actual fund drive receipts from all the stations, right? And the budgeted was $2.15 million. That was what the drives were supposed to get but didn't get. Anyway, it's not a big deal.
He's asking if the 2. Whatever million were the budgetary projections, and then the other figure represents the actual, which is the shortfall and therefore the deficit. Is that what you're asking, Jamie?
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
Carry on. Sorry.
Doc, if you want to chime in, feel free.
You're asking if there's two different deficits. There's a deficit between what's owed in central services and what's paid, and there's a separate deficit between what was budgeted
yes.
in central services
yes.
and what was fundraising actually
yes.
in theory produced.
And
yes,
this 243K represents that second deficit.
If I knew what page you were on, I could tell you.
I'm on 1 of 34. The bottom right-hand number. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
So, yeah, here are the footnotes. I have some footnotes for the consolidated total network-wide, which is the write-off of Dan, the station footnotes for detail. So we can now go to the station footnotes for detail. And as we move forward, I think the first station is, and sorry, guys, that this board book kind of squishes everything. We should just have binders with three rings
yes.
and reuse them. I realized that after putting this board book together. We should just have, with everybody's name on it, and then you can just keep reusing it. So now going to 6 of 34, we hit KPFA first. So their year-to-date actual, this is as of the end of July 31st, $3.4 million. The year-to-date budget was $3.97 million. So they have a variance of close to $500,000 they haven't raised. And their August drive didn't do that well. So they did not get to the end of July drive, right. So this is at in here, right. It's in here. Yeah.
What was the last July?
I don't have those figures, Sarv. I don't know. I wasn't
Sarv,
here in
would you
July.
Ask your question into the mic?
Yeah. Sarv was asking, he wanted to know what was last year's July drive for KPFA compared to this year's July drive, and I wasn't here, and I don't know, and I don't
Brian,
have it in here.
It seems like it was twice.
Oh, at least twice.
It was a...
They were two different fundraising formats. This year was about 170 pledged actual. Last year was, I believe, just shy of three.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Well, it was a different format.
It was a different format.
Yes.
It was a shorter drive, and it's a worse economy.
It was a friend drive. We didn't base on.
Sorry, you
got to really
use a microphone.
Don't have one.
All right, never mind.
And actually, here. I have some footnotes for July with regard to KPFA.
Okay, what I want to know is that if there is such a drastic difference, what were the variables that led to that?
Was
that an experimentation of some kind?
A different type of
and
drive.
What was it? Describe it, please.
The different type of drive was they didn't do special programming. They did shorter pitches. They pushed a lot of people online. And I believe it was a shorter drive than normal. And it's a worse economy. So it wasn't the full-on pull out the stops, every gift, different gift, every hour. And let's not forget, we looked at those audience numbers as well yesterday. Smaller audience than last year at this time.
Well, the question that I have is that we know that we are short on revenues, and we need the money. And then we are cutting our drives short, and we are experimenting with different kind of ways of doing it. Wouldn't that be kind of nice to do it in a way where when we have the money and experiment with different types of platforms?
You know,
okay.
I'm just wondering. It certainly begs the question, but at the same time, you're driving listeners away during your drives. Clearly, the audience numbers showed that. For KPFK, they lost half their audience in June. Half their audience. That's what the fund drives are doing. They're killing audience.
It's a
balance, and I do believe that you have to – it's slow. You can't expect immediate returns. You can go back to normal, but you're going to lose audience as well, and it's a worse economy.
Brian.
Okay, thank you. Let me just give the details because this might be helpful to other stations that may have thought of trying this thing. What we experimented with was a drive where instead of our traditional format of spending 40 minutes setting up a premium and then 20 minutes effectively selling it through the pledge process, all programs did their regular programming and did interstitial plugs of about 90 seconds, four times a show. No, we had a staffed phoner asking people to donate. So the goal was to not be disruptive to regular programming and not give listeners a reason to leave. The rationale, as management expressed it, was twofold. One was that because we were moving our fall drive earlier into September to keep it out of election season when we expect our listeners to be turning to us for more information, we were afraid of racking up too much donor fatigue if we did a traditional summer drive with all-out plugging. The second was that a short time in advance of the drive, they kind of spread out all the DVDs and CDs and speeches that they thought would be good premiums and found out we were coming up very short on likely hits compared to past drives. So they did not think the traditional premium-driven fundraising was going to do as well. They experimented with this format because we'd had limited success with it in specific time slots prior, like our evening news. We came up short. We'll come up a little bit lower on premium expenses, but it will in no way offset the actual shortfall in the fund drive. And we don't have detailed portable people meter data yet to tell us if we kept a bigger audience. But for KPFA, as for most stations, the summer fund drive is very small.
And I have the actuals here. For the fall drive, I'll just run through the actuals here. For the fall drive for KPFA, they were budgeted at $780,000 to do. In actual pledges, they got $832,000. They got 80% fulfillment, 666 is actually what came in. Winter drive was $875,000 budgeted. Actual pledges were $850,000, 80% fulfillment, and that's good. They're the highest in the system, $680,000 actual. Spring drive was $750,000 budgeted. Actual pledges was $696,000 with 80% fulfillment, $557,000 actual. And the summer drive was budgeted at $300,000, which I think was over-optimistic anyway for a summer drive, a mini drive. Remember, that's what we call them, mini drives. A lot of people are not available during the summer. Actual pledges were $166,846. 80% fulfillment was $133,000. Most of that was online, so you got the instant cash in bank. So their total in what they've raised was $2.7 million. Actual pledges was $2.546 million. And with 80% fulfillment, that puts them at $2 million. Now, also, you have to think of overhead because it's not all net. So the year-to-date premium costs for KPFA, $170,000. That's $34,000 over fiscal year 08's budget of $136,000. So they're going a little bit over their premium budget as well. So you take that $136,000 right off the top. And then, of course, there's other issues that eat into your net.
Margaret?
Yeah, just a couple of things on the fund drive. As somebody who is pretty involved with the fund drive at KPFK, there has been a lot of concern, particularly on the part of paid staff at KPFK, about the new format that we followed this summer as well, and also, you know, ended up short. The plus side of it is that we did increase, we call it a membership drive, and we did increase membership. I don't have the figure, you know, directly in front of me. I supported that new direction because of the concern about the loss of audience, and also, you know, for those of us who pitch a lot, you know, that kind of, you know, staff fatigue. However, I did see an email now from management saying that we're going back for the October drive, that they're going back to the format of the June fund drive. In other words, they're not going to be following this new format. The only new thing I think in it is that what they're going to do at least the first week is to reduce the preemptions. First, they said there would be no preemptions and that everybody would pitch their own shows, which will be great for people like me because it's less work, right? That I'll just pitch one day a week as opposed to 5 days a week. But that I got an email saying that there will be some preemptions, and we don't know exactly, you know, what that will be. So I think what Sean, our very capable new manager, is trying to do at KPFK is to find some kind of middle ground, given the nervousness, especially with the threat of layoffs, et cetera, happening on the part of staff, but also trying to go with this new spirit of, you know, not less, fewer premiums and not as much time pitching.
Okay. Well, this is, yeah, really where most pledge drives have gone in the system. I think I talked about this on one of the last NFC calls about how Pacifica has trained its audience. I think for KPFK it didn't help that their website went down the first day of the summer drive and stayed down for 2 days. Okay. So that impacted it.
Okay, you know what? Let's go on with the
budget. Let's go on. Are there any questions? Please read through the footnotes on KPFA there. Any other questions on that?
AC?
Yeah, I'm just concerned and curious about the process that was described, that the fund drives were driving away driving people away. I think you said 40% or something at KPFA.
at KPFK.
KPFK.
We have the PPM data.
Yeah. I think that needs to be really examined, because what does it mean to have an audience leaving because of a fund drive? There's something fundamentally wrong with that, to say that if our fund drives are driving people away, that's a pretty serious sort of factor. Mm-hmm. And I think
you have to consider the market. You've got probably three other very strong public radio stations in the market. I don't think they drive four times a year, but they definitely drive three times a year. I'm just taking Los Angeles as a case.
Right.
So you've got three strong public radio stations. They're all on fund drives at least three times a year. Same in the Berkeley market, which I happen to know pretty well. You've got one monster public radio station and a couple of smaller public radio stations. They're driving at least three times a year. The kind of pledge fatigue that is going on overall in the system is pretty phenomenal. And as you couple that up with a loss of audience at our Pacifica stations, and then you marry that to a poor economy.
Yeah, but is the basis of the turnaway based on how do you arrive at the position that the turnaway of the audience is based upon the drives rather than...
That's when the PPM data shows half the audience goes away. That's just the deduction I make. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe that 3-week time in June when KPFK was doing their drive and it shows that a lot of people left, maybe Los Angeles emptied out. I don't know.
Okay. Could we move on, because we're on KPFA right now, though? AC's question. Go ahead, Nicole. Go.
So everything I just read you are in the footnotes. Anybody have any questions as to where KPFA stands right now in their 10 months ending July 31st? Yes, Margaret.
Yeah, in reviewing the budgets and prepped for this meeting and reviewing the budgets, I did make some notes and sent it on to the chair of the Finance Committee, the chair of the board, and also to Nicole. And some questions on KPFA. I'm not quite sure if there's new information that came in since I read that.
These aren't the budgets for FY09. This is the consolidated report.
Oh, okay. I'll save my comments for the budgets then.
KPFK, the consolidated report for the 10 months ending July 31st, is our next station. And here we go.
Page 7.
That is page 10 of 34.
That's page 10.
And let's remember the no central services. From K, which if we go back to our cash inflow done by Ms. Magno, they're at 299,492.81, so let's round it up to 300,000. We are hoping to recoup that, although I have said on NFC meetings that all these central services that haven't been paid, either by WBAI way back in 07, here in 08, and KPFK in 08, I really don't see us as recouping those, and I just don't see it wise of the foundation to just carry that over as some kind of accrual income or whatever it might be carried over as. I think just getting them to get to central services in present tense would be healthy. Scrolling back and collecting all that other stuff, maybe the bill backs, yeah, because, you know, that covered legal fees, that covered benefits, et cetera, should the two stations ever get to that healthy a point. And we believe they will. KPFK, okay, we can look as well at their footnotes, which is 13 of 34. You see the budget, you see the actual pledges, and you see the fulfillment rate of basically 76% on their drives. KPFK is actually the station, though, and hats off to K, making the largest amount in their fund drive, in their goals. What was sad is that so much wasn't fulfilled, that we've discovered 600,000 in unfulfilled pledges, which really bleeds into, of course, their inability to pay central services. But they're hitting the million-dollar mark there, at least in making the phones ring. It's collecting that and watching the net that is important. And then you can see that the summer mini drives are, which, as we just said, tried a different way, did pretty poor. But I think that also the external economy really started to melt down as well this summer. But nonetheless, there we go with any footnotes, if you care for any explanation on the footnotes. You also see that we've put in major donors, et cetera, just about everything that's come across the transom. I think one thing is booked wrong on this, though. Excuse me, Margaret, and I'll get right back to you. Is number 17. It says other cash expenditures. It was not $116,000 for Malibu antenna repairs. What it actually was for the main transmitter repairs, because they had ice storms over the winter, and it caused damage to the main transmitter. And some Malibu booster expense might be folded into that, but their main expense was the ice storms that hit the transmitter.
Margaret?
Yeah, just a question or comment of sort on the rate, the fulfillment rate. I'm wondering, and some of us at the station are wondering, if there's a relationship between the types of premiums that are offered and the fulfillment rate, because part of the problem that we face with the culture of premiums is that you then start pushing things that, you know, some people might consider quite, we at the station have a code word for it. We call it snake oil, whatever it is, whether it's like this immediate cure for cancer or, you know, the family relationship of all world leaders to each other, and therefore this is a conspiracy or you know, whatever. And, you know, the phones light up and a lot of people call, but there's worry that it's kind of pushing away a certain kind of audience and attracting another kind of audience. And then people have kind of second thoughts. Well, maybe that stuff isn't going to cure cancer after all, or heal my sexual problems or whatever. So they may be not actually fulfilling the pledges. So I'm not quite sure how to go about gathering that kind of data about the relationship.
Well, it would
between
be pretty easy to gather the data. It's just important. You know, it's time consuming, because what you have to do is break it down hour by hour and then break down the fulfillment gift by gift. Nobody probably ever drills down that much.
So
I
we
talked
have no
about
way
this
of knowing.
Yesterday. Yeah, you do. It's just nobody drills down that far. Absolutely, that information is there. This is what I call the bait and switch approach. You're turning off your core. You're bringing in your fringe. You bait and switch the fringe so that you bait them with the gift. When you go back to regular programming, they feel switched up. The other thing is a lot of buyers regret. You know, people finally get that bill in the mail. This is a reason why we can't count on these pledges as, you know, a widget that we've produced that sits on a shelf that eventually we can count as inventory and we'll get paid for. A pledge is completely voluntary. There's nothing in a pledge that says it is actually going to come in unless, and sometimes people even pull their $10 a month club stuff. You know, I know that with stations that I've signed up with $10 a month, suddenly I'll come to my senses 2 years later and say, dang, they're still nicking me $10 a month and I don't even live in that signal area anymore. And you turn it off. That happens. People move. They forget about that pledge. Suddenly people are faced with electricity or pledge. I guess it's going to be electricity bill. So, you know, there's a lot of nuance to it. There's an art to fundraising. There is an art to being able to build these drives so that they're successful and they don't eat heavy into the net. But that requires some discipline and planning and really programming that speaks to the core and is maintained that way, and you're not just constantly doing specials. And that's the approach of doing these different drives. I think it's a process of weaning people off of it. I don't think you can go from one to the other right away. unless you did some drastic program switch that just, you know, brought in a ton of listeners, and then you could start a whole, total fresh way of pledging. But I don't think you're going to be able to do it. I think it's going to be bit by bit by bit. It's just like making the web presences more sexy, more appealing for people to go there and pledge online. Not just some static thing, hit this red button, donate now. You know, no, it's got to be. People are savvy. They want some eye candy. They want some stickiness. You know, those are all tactics and approaches that really need to be developed.